Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to First Things First. Hey, we got a big show for you today. We're going to tell you why LeBron has a chance to take the MVP away from Giannis. Zion and Luka battled it out in overtime last night, but we got to start with Tom Brady at a contract crossroad. Call heard around the world. According to reports, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have spoken. It was on the phone. The reception was clear. Some saying it, quote, didn't go well. Others reporting it was, quote, business as usual. You know what, Coach, there appears to be movement here. On which side and which direction, I don't think anyone knows. But give us your best pitch. If you're Bill Belichick, give me your best pitch to Tom Brady to bring him back.
Okay, so now there's a phone call that supposedly took place. Did Bill call Tom? Did Tom call Bill? Like, what are they reporting? Like, who's recruiting who? And there is no pitch. He's not putting together like some PowerPoint and and getting up in front of Tom and his team and showing him the advantages of staying in New England. There's 20 years worth of pitch as to why he should stay in New England. He's achieved it at a level that's been unseen before, and I respect that. But as much as it's been Tom, it's also been Tom's relationship with Bill. And at this point in his career, his best chance to be successful is to stay with New England. And I'm not convinced that Bill is trying to pitch him at all. I think that they're at a point where if it makes sense financially, then Tom will stay. If Tom has expectations that the organization feels are unreasonable, or Bill does, then Bill's probably going to let him go.
Well, to me, and I'm not saying you're wrong here, that Bill is not going to pitch Tom. But if he doesn't pitch him at all, if he doesn't show him a little bit of love in this, then he's going to lose it. Like, now maybe you can say, and to me, it would only be about ego. It would only be about, I'm Bill Belichick.
But I thought you thought it was a money
we've
thing.
We've won. Well, hold on. What do you mean? I thought what was a money? I'm saying the only reason Belichick wouldn't pitch Brady, wouldn't show him some love, is because he has a feeling of, I don't pitch people.
Oh,
I don't
Belichick's ego.
Belichick's, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. I don't audition for roles.
You never have, I mean? Never will, doesn't matter who you are.
He does pitch people. He has the ability to recruit. I've seen him recruit guys.
So why would he not pitch Brady?
Because I think this is different. Like the free agency in the past were guys that weren't necessarily part of the organization. And I do think that part of this process is, okay, go see what you can get, see what the market is, and you know, after you see what the market is, come back with a number and then we'll discuss it. And then there may be money at that point. There may be more of a pitch at that point. I don't know how strong Tom's market is at this right now. And we hear a lot about all the teams that are monitoring. What does monitoring mean?
Well, we heard eight teams interested. Four teams would sign him tomorrow.
We heard eight teams monitoring.
Four teams would sign him.
I'm monitoring.
And who's reporting this? There's so much not known right now, and a lot of it is unbelievable, especially if someone's reporting it from the New England side, because Tom doesn't talk about it and Bill doesn't talk about it.
So guys,
all this stuff is just.
So tell me what the conversation is if you're on the phone.
That's my question.
What's the conversation? You pick up the phone, you get on the phone, and what are they talking about then?
It's
off-season vacations.
Look, I've had a few of those conversations, and it's not. Yeah, a long time talking about how the family is and what you've been up to. It's going to be much more in line with business. Have you thought about what you want to do? Have you changed your offer? Have you thought it's going to be more back and forth, but not a lot of pregnant pauses, a lot of quietness, and I'm sure that's where it is.
Then he's gone.
No, but it's not abnormal. It's not abnormal to have those conversations with Bill. That's the way Bill's wired.
Nothing about this situation is normal. Nothing about Brady is a typical free agent. And you're saying he's not going to give him the full PowerPoint presentation, all of the bells and whistles. Everyone else is.
No, and he shouldn't have to. He shouldn't have to. There's 20 years of PowerPoint presentations.
But that goes in both directions, Coach.
It does. So if you suddenly had to pitch your wife or expected your wife to to give you a PowerPoint presentation? Like, they've been married. They've had a successful marriage for a long time.
That's a good point.
It's been good for both of them. And now suddenly you want your partner
But there's not an expiration date on marriage.
All the reasons.
The relationship expires March 18th. And you said something interesting a moment ago, Wilds, which is you thought that I had said it's just about money. To me, it's about respect and appreciation. And that can be shown a number of ways. Money is one of the ways. I think if on this phone call, Belichick swallowed a bit of his pride and said, Tommy, obviously, we've been the best thing for each other. Maybe I haven't said enough to you how much I appreciate you. And maybe last year, I focused a little too much on my defense, not a little enough, not quite enough on your offense.
I buy that.
Am I going to bend over backwards? Am I going to make you the highest paid quarterback in football? No. But I can do a little more for you at the end of your career as you've done so much for me and tell him, show him some love. Show him how much he's appreciated. Don't you think that would go a long way?
Hey, look, at some point, I think the appreciation, there is an element of that. But if you've been part of something for 20 years and you've been successful doing it, and you've seen how the interactions have taken place with other really notable members of the organization and been okay with that too, when it comes your time, you can't be surprised that it's happening to you.
You know what would help a lot in these discussions? If Brady would just tell us exactly what it is he's going to do. So that's not going to happen. Instead, his friends will shed a little light. Take a listen to Brady on the phone with his buddy, UFC president Dana White.
We want you to come to the Raiders. I've been pitching you now for a month. I love you too. Come on, brother. Get to Vegas.
Thanks, man. I know it's been a lot of patience for me. And obviously being where I've been for 20 years, it's been an amazing experience. And I don't know what the future holds right now. I'm just trying to be patient through this process, my first time going through it. And in the meantime, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family over the next 10, 12 days. And we got a little vacation plan, which I'm looking forward to.
God, I hope Brady knew he was being recorded, because otherwise...
He knew. I don't know if he knew it was coming.
But your face and my face were exactly the same. A little uncomfortable.
From Patriot fan Dana White. That was Patriot fan Dana White.
Well, supposedly, but now he's a Raider.
Now he's Raider fan.
He's Raider representative. All right, my immediate reaction was two things. One is, as I said yesterday, Brady needs better friends. You can't put him in that spot. You can't be on IG Live and make him do an impromptu interview when he thinks he's taking a phone call from his...
But he might have agreed to it. We don't...
Well, if he agreed to it, then I go back to my point from a week ago, which is Brady's loving the attention. He's either loving the attention or he got sandbagged.
Either way,
other person I thought about was you, Kevin Wilds, because Brady keeps lightly alluding to his time with the Patriots.
I know.
How's he doing it? In what tense?
It's the past tense, unfortunately. We've never heard him talk like he said, it's been a great experience. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That struck fear in my heart, Coach.
It has been a great experience, and it can still be a great experience. But
it's just not how you talk about it. Like, you remember talking about marriage? Like, how's your marriage? It's been a great experience.
It's going great.
Yeah.
There is an element of what Nick was saying earlier where I'm sure Tom wants to be appreciated. I totally understand that. And for that to happen, he's going to have to establish a market outside of New England. He's going to have to show that there is real value outside. And then typically, like any negotiation, that negotiation will turn. But if you don't believe that Tom is going to walk away, if they don't necessarily believe he'll truly walk, then nothing is going to move. Because one of the things that you love about Belichick, one of the things that you love about New England, every fan has, is that ruthlessness in dealing with players and being ready to move on from players, which has served them well. Yeah. So it's not unexpected or uncharacteristic that should apply to Tom Brady, too.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
We got to take a turn now. We watched every single second of every single game last night.
Oh, it was a great night in the Association of America.
The best of the best. Here we go. Best achievement, Luka Doncic. Put up 30, 17, and 10.
17 rebounds.
His 22nd career triple-double in a win over the Pelicans, passing Jason Kidd for most triple-doubles in Mavericks history.
Jason Kidd played 500 games with the Mavs. This was Luka Doncic's 122nd.
Crazy.
So he does it about four times as often as Jason Kidd. Unbelievable. And, Coach, you'll love it. Filled up box score. The biggest play of the game. game for him, an offensive rebound at the end.
I do this one
is for Coach. Best strange state line of
stat
the
line.
Night. Stat line of the night. Sorry. Terrence Ross.
Line.
It could be state line. 35 points to go along with 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 blocks, and 0 steals.
And zero effort.
Oh, come on, Coach.
What are you talking about?
Zero selflessness.
Coach.
How do you play a game and have no other stat
line?
No,
it's like being a special teams player, Coach.
Just like the punter,
I had 5 punts. You're like zero tackles?
It's special. It's special. You take all the shots, and I'll do nothing else.
Third in the last 35 years.
How about the best almost dunk of the night goes to Ja Morant? Nearly threw down this one.
This should be a new segment on the show, Jenna.
What's that?
Near dunks?
Just
near
best
misses?
Dunks. Best almost dunks from Ja Morant.
Yeah, listen, we have our Zion highlight of the night that we play most nights. Ja could be in that category. It's pretty impressive. He was able to go up and get it. Couldn't finish the play. Ja, the Grizzlies win again, by the way. Well, hey, Fox Bet, I gave you that pick last night, by the way. Grizzlies minus 1.5. Give me a break.
How about our young baller of the night? Nice. Didn't mean to cut you off there. No problem. Knicks fan going through the legs.
You gonna hate on this one too, Coach?
No, I love this one. Someone's scoring in the garden. It's great.
Nick, I've been here five days. This is the first Knicks highlight we've shown.
Well, you could be here 105 days. It might be the only Knicks highlight we show.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Everything else was bad Rockets.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look at this kid. I love it.
Take a break. Giannis now, the 25-year-old phenom, well on his way to back-to-back MVP honors. That's good. But he knows what great looks like. Tall, bearded, and referred to as the king. How about this? Turns out that the king, LeBron James, is actually pushing the Greek freak in more ways than one.
We see you every day taking care of your body, you know, really taking that part of the game seriously. Actually, before about LeBron and being this age, mm-hmm. and being able to perform at the level he's able to, when you look at him at that age and still being in the MVP conversation, you know, does that inspire just the way he's able to take care of his body and still be representing the league at this age?
Yeah, it's amazing. Obviously, I think, how old is he, 35, and playing the high level, helping his team win, and he just leads the path for us. You know, a lot of times we think that, okay, we're going to retire at 35, but seeing a guy at 35 being still top three best player in the world, you know, that makes us want to be there, you know, like, makes me want to be, you know, there one day. So I keep taking care of my body. Eating the right way, being healthy, and you know, he paved the way, and hopefully we can just follow.
So lucky us, we all get to watch these two go up against mm-hmm. each other. Friday night, Bucks at Lakers. Nick, is there anything at this point LeBron can do to swing the MVP conversation in his favor? I think right now we all agree it's going to Giannis.
Yeah, of course there are things LeBron can do. Giannis, if the season ended today, Giannis should be the unanimous MVP. He should have all the votes. I think LeBron should be the unanimous second place vote getter if such a thing were to exist. But we have 25% of the season left, almost exactly. So I think this is the best way to look at it. Bucks, Lakers.
Yeah.
Bucks are up by 13. We're going into the fourth quarter. Game's not over. And this weekend, LeBron can go on a little 9-0 run, force a quick timeout. Oh, it's a 4-point game now. Now we got an interesting final 11 minutes of basketball. If LeBron plays great, and Giannis struggles on Friday, and then LeBron follows that up with a great game Sunday against Kawhi and the Clippers, and all of a sudden, wait, the Lakers are only 3 back of the Bucks as far as the best record in basketball, and like, oh, Giannis now had a bad week after not winning player of the month, and LeBron's won back-to-back players of the month. And yeah, he can make it interesting. Now, he has to play great tomorrow. Giannis probably has to struggle a bit tomorrow, and LeBron has to follow it up on Sunday. But we wouldn't look at a team trailing a game by double digits through 3 quarters as the game over. We would just look at his one team as a drastic favorite. Giannis is a drastic favorite, but with 21, 22 games left, of course there's something LeBron can do, but he has to start
favorite in this game?
The line hasn't come out yet. My guess is it's going to be a pick 'em, maybe Lakers by 1 because it's in LA. You think the Bucks will be favored?
No, I thought Lakers would be favored by more.
No, I think Lakers maybe by 1, maybe a pick 'em.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Thereabouts.
I think you laid everything out in Jenna with the circumstance of the MVP. I think it has less to do with LeBron not necessarily being the front runner because of the performance that he's had throughout the course of the season. But Giannis has been an absolute monster in the way in which Milwaukee has been. They are on a historic pace for the ways in which they've been beating teams, the margin of victory, his win share. Whether you want to look at numbers, you want to look at the eye test, Giannis has just been extraordinary this season. So I think it has less to do with what LeBron has been able to do. But we've watched LeBron, who, when he hears talk about people, so you think about how he's played against Zion, he's been a beast.
Oh, he you think shows about
how
up.
He has played against Giannis throughout the course, not only of his career.
Luka earlier this year, when Luka's buzz was really ascending, he had some great games.
And so for LeBron James and the Lakers, I think sometimes too, when we look at MVP voting, the difference between Milwaukee for is as incredible as they played this season, and for as much as we talk about the depth of their team, there was no true second star behind Giannis. Chris Middleton, an all-star, but not quite the same caliber. Eric Bledsoe.
Well, you think AD hurts LeBron's MVP chances?
I think there's just a different perspective on it. I do think, and I don't know if hurts is, you think it hurts it?
I think it factors in.
And I think for LeBron, he understands how important getting AD to play the way he is to their winning, to their success. But I do think that factors in, that Giannis is the guy far and away above what the rest of his team and what the rest of his roster compilation
looks like. Nick, let me ask you this. Who is this game more important for then? Is it for LeBron to maybe make a case, or is it for Giannis to keep the case?
Well, okay, it's more important for the MVP discussion. It's far more important for LeBron because this is now, we just had Super Tuesday, right? Is Sanders in second place now? Now every state's more important to him. He got to somehow make up ground. If you're the one trailing, then every contest becomes more important for you. As far as for the individual teams,
yeah,
I would argue this game is more important for the Bucks because the Bucks have to keep proving themselves night in, night out against the best teams in basketball because of what happened last year. The Lakers, I think, have the confidence in any playoff series that we got LeBron. And that is a confidence that is going to carry them an enormous way. The Bucks don't have that, so what they need to be able to, I think, is the NBA Finals. I think it's important for the Bucks. It's like, we played you twice this year, and we beat you twice this year. Wilds, I know you think, though, this is less about Giannis' career, you know, the fact that he's going to set the all-time record in PER and the Bucks are going to win 70 games. You've almost, I don't want to say more emotionally, but more about story arcs on this.
Tell me if you buy this. We'll go to Iverson. You can almost define Iverson's career with two plays.
The step over.
Yep.
And the crossover.
And the crossover. It's his whole career, two plays. So I wonder if, when we talk about PER and all the advanced stats, if LeBron can make his case with like one superstar play. When Giannis goes up for one of those big dunks and LeBron blocks it. Or LeBron goes into the lane and like yams it on Giannis. And I wonder if that's like, will change the 100 voters and be like, "Ooh, there it is. There's like the defining moment."
I love the concept of that. I think too much now, though, we are so focused on those. LeBron is
What? Analytics.
No. I was going to say the defining moments of the post. Think about how many defining moments in the playoffs and in the postseason LeBron had. I'm not quite sure.
But for this year, you don't think
he's saying could he have the defining moment of the MVP by having a great moment over Giannis?
A Heisman moment.
Certainly if Giannis went up for a big dunk and LeBron blocked it. And Giannis fell into the stands.
Yeah, I think the voters
the ball
are too
went
smart
into the,
now.
I do.
I think 30 years ago, yes. I think right now it's going to be like,
I don't think it's about numbers. Because for Giannis, for as much as you want to talk about PER, for as much as you want to talk about all of his eye test, ask any coach, ask any player, you watch what he's able to do on the floor and why Milwaukee is winning in the manner that they're winning. The fact that these numbers that Giannis is putting up is in under 31 minutes per game. I think it's less about analytics this year and more about, good gosh, this man has been an absolute monster.
And Giannis should be the MVP as of now. We got a quarter of the season left.
I like it.
We'll see. Well, you got a quarter to play. LeBron's trailing by double digits. We'll see what he can do on Friday. We can cut into that deficit.
Our top story here. The first matchup between Luka and Zion last night. The Mavericks defense able to contain Zion, holding the rookie to 21 points and 6 rebounds. That's actually an accomplishment. Luka, on the other hand, could not be slowed down. Knicks adult Slovenian son put up 30, 17, and 10 for the guy's 22nd career triple-double. Kristaps Porzingis, who's been playing great lately, added 34, 12, and 5 blocks. Mavs get the overtime win. Nick, the Mavs are a dangerous first-round team if both Luka and Kristaps are playing the way they've been playing?
Yeah. Yeah, number one offense in all of basketball, and that's with Kristaps having a tough start to the season. That's with Luka missing time. Sarah, you and I have talked about this off the air. This is a fun team. Don't play a ton of D, but, man, they can score with anybody. And Kristaps, since January 31st, so we're now talking about the entire month of February, a little bit of March, last day of January, has 28 and 11 on 50% from the field, 39% from three. Pretty damn good. And I do wonder, when we're talking about the, you know, the best duos in basketball, to me, Sarah, there's a very clear-cut top four. Now, your guys, KD and Kyrie, will insert themselves very shortly right into that list. But with Kyrie out and KD injured, we know who the top four are. You can argue about the order. LeBron, Anthony Davis would be one. I think Giannis and Middleton are two out of the strength of Giannis. Harden and Russ are three, and Kawhi and Paul George are four. Some people would reorganize that top four. Those are your top four. Could Luka and Kristaps be fifth? Embiid and Simmons played themselves out of it.
They're at least they were there, and then
they were there, and they played themselves out of it. And my friends in Denver say, why don't you give Jokic and Murray enough credit? I included them. That's enough. Dame and CJ probably ain't going to make the playoffs. Tatum's played well enough that they got on the list. Is it Luka and Kristaps?
Yeah. Superstar Tatum, though.
Is it Luka and Kristaps?
Yes, because think about how well they play together.
They're already there to you.
I have a ton of respect for all those other duos, but yes, and think about the size, the length. Obviously, Porzingis coming back from that injury, you knew it would take him a little bit of time. That's understandable. Now we're starting to see that progression. You mentioned Dallas not playing defense, but Porzingis does, and he's been impressive on that end of the floor, but I just think the dynamic and the chemistry between those two. I mean, Doncic is so tough to stop anyway in the pick and roll and with the ball in his hands, let alone when you got a guy like Porzingis that can stretch you out, he can get to the basket. I just think their chemistry will continue to build, and I have so much confidence in Rick Carlisle and how he continues to put them in the best position possible and also just the roster around them.
Do you think Porzingis has another level to go to?
Yeah, I do. I do. Because I think that for Porzingis in the Knicks organization, what he was doing early on, him coming to the States and to the NBA in his career, he was still trying to find his way, gets injured. What he's been through early on, I don't even think we've seen him start to reach the ceiling of what he can be. And I think that, and I think it's all about him staying healthy.
Month.
But I think, yes.
I think these past 35 days, when he's giving you 28 and 11 on good shooting, good defense, I think you're starting
and
to see it this month.
He doesn't have to be the guy. I mean, the fact that he can be a sidekick.
Do you think that's his destiny to be like a number two?
Absolutely.
I do.
I don't think he's a superstar number one. I think he can be a perfectly well-qualified number two. But the reason this is so interesting, before we get to Zion, just quickly, Jenna, this is why the regular season, I don't care what folks tell you, matters. The one seed in the West, you're going to get a walkover. You the two, you might face these guys. Right now, the two seed gets this team, the number one offense in basketball, soon to be superstar Luka Doncic, soon to be star Kristaps Porzingis. That's who you get round one of the playoffs right now if you're the two seed. So don't tell me, just coast. Okay, coast. And then deal with these guys for 2 weeks in late April. It ain't gonna be fun.
All right, so Luka played Zion last night, so we're gonna turn our focus to Zion. The Pelicans rookie played his first career back-to-back. Many wondered if that was a good idea. Zion thought it was a great idea. Take a listen.
Physically, I'm feeling fine right now. I think it was just one of those things where, you know, Drew, Lonzo, just kind of came to me and was like, are you ready to play? Because if you saw me in the second quarter, I think, you know, I just kind of turned around and looked at Lonzo like, all right, like, I'm awake now. Because, you know, they just came to me and said, like, you know, it's time for you to wake up.
How do you think Zion held up conditioning-wise?
I think he's fine. We worry about him too freaking much, okay? He's fine. He's 19 years old. He'll be fine.
He's right. Gentry's right about Zion.
Of course he's right. Sarah, you remember I don't know, 9 months ago, 10 months ago, went to see my son's old AAU team Adidas Gauntlet, the Houston team that was playing in the same Adidas Gauntlet Zion South Carolina Supreme played in. Basketball University was the team we went and watched. Yep. Those kids play 3 games in 20 hours. They play 2 games a day minimum. Sometimes in a tournament, they might play 5 games from a Thursday to Sunday. Zion was doing that a year and a half ago. The idea that Zion at 19, it's like, he can't play back-to-back
nights. The competition's
nights.
A little different.
Yeah, but the wear and tear on his body's about the same. We're not worried about people leaning on Zion. We're worried about Zion jumping and landing and jumping and landing. That's the same whether you're doing it in a small gym off the piers in New York City like we saw or at the Smoothie King Center. Sorry, my apologies. Like this is, of course, Zion should be playing. And of course, to me, we should not be worried about a 19-year-old needing to load manage.
And it's not a worry. If you watched all those highlights and you watched last night, to credit to Dallas's defense, their collective length, Maxi Kleba was bodying up, doing an excellent job of him all night, and then he has Porzingis sliding over to help. That was some of his trouble last night when he was playing, and we've seen this with Zion when he's up against a player, whether it's the Lakers and you got Anthony Davis and a big man in Dwight Howard or with the Bucks team. Sometimes if he's not playing against a guy that he could just beat with his own quickness and agility and he's got a second big man coming over to help, it causes him a little bit of trouble, which is normal. He has been tremendous, and it's a part of it. We see a lot of fatigue in players in the second night of a back-to-back. I don't think it's anything that should raise red flags about Zion in particular.
Zion had a particular look to him that was like, I'm exhausted.
Which happened, but that's...
But that's why people were asking Gentry, and Gentry asked like it was an outrageous question. So here, he gets blocked, he falls down, here comes Luka doing Luka's thing. Whoop. And layup. Now let's cut to Zion. Zion, how are you feeling?
So Zion's not even.
He's like, oh, here I am. Like, you're allowed to question the coach after seeing this video. Be like, hey, he's looked tired. A little tired.
He's
like, he's 19. Like, okay, I just watched it.
Alvin Gentry, who I love and who I know well, is credit. I think he's inundated with Zion questions. Every pregame, every postgame has been since the draft, since before the draft. So I'm sure for him, he's like, all right,
and
enough already.
Gets tired. I don't like this. Is
you don't? You've never missed a.
I've never missed a show. Don't mean I'm not exhausted.
If we play him 38 nights,
I mean everyone
got
gets
a radio
tired.
Show.
And by the way, I will say I love where we're at with Zion. You're totally right. He struggled a bit last night. They had length to give him some trouble. So that means he was held to an inefficient 50% from
exactly.
the field.
But didn't
a bad game for him.
Only 3 times, I think, so far this year, he shot 50%.
Right.
Or right around.
Or low.
He sat out the first couple of minutes of overtime, didn't he? First 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah, okay. So
why?
Again, because maybe he is not in perfect conditioning yet. But it's not. It has nothing to do with the idea that you can't play him 30-plus minutes a night for 75 to 80 games a year for the next 15 years. That's what I'm anticipating for Zion Williams.
All right, time to play drawing a blank, sticking with this game. All eyes on Luka and Zion, and they did not disappoint. Nick, the player under 25 you'd most want to build your team around is blank.
The wording here is very important. You said under 25. 25 and under, obviously it's Giannis, but Giannis just turned 25, so he's out. So it's very obvious. It's Luka. I mean, Zion's very close, but it's Luka. Luka doesn't have to improve ever, and he'll win an MVP. If he just stays at this level, he'll win an MVP and be one of this stat line for his career makes him have like the 34th greatest player ever. So yeah, Luka is the answer. Luka.
I do agree that Luka is the obvious answer, but if I can't choose Luka and we're looking for someone else, Jason Tatum.
Oh, my God.
22 years
superstar
old.
Superstar Jason Tatum.
Nick is not into him.
Not on board.
He's third year. He just turned 22.
Love it.
He continues to ascend at the end of the year over the last 7 games. 35 points. 50% from three, 9 rebounds, over 9 threes per game.
That's what America wants.
Selection.
America wants you to call him a superstar.
He's obviously not a superstar. He's not almost a star.
He's moving from good to great.
He's not calling him a star, Sarah. He won't call him a star.
Is he the best player from his draft class, Sarah? Is he better than Donovan Mitchell? Is he better than, hey, I'm going to throw another name out there.
We're
guy gets forgotten.
Franchise. Look, I would have picked
Luka. What about De'Aaron Fox?
And I'm just trying to bring a little variety.
Listen, Tatum's been awesome.
I love Donovan Mitchell. I would pick Tatum over De'Aaron Fox, over Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. Good. Sure. Listen, another nice night for Tatum last night, and they needed every last point to squeeze out a win over the Cavs.
Oh, the Tatum tier.
Yeah, listen, there's nobody above him he's better than. There's nobody above him he's better than.
How old's Pascal?
Pascal's sneaky old, I think.
That game took the headlines, but there were plenty of great efforts around the league. Colin Sexton went off for a career-high 41 in the loss to the Celtics. But Sarah will let you decide. The best performance in the NBA last night was blank.
I want to give a little love to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Oh. For as much as we've been talking about what OKC has been able to do, how much Chris Paul has helped that, Gilgeous-Alexander is a player that Doc Rivers hated to lose in that trade, of course, acquiring Paul George. 27 points, 3 rebounds. 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 12 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. I love this kid. He's going to continue to get better, and I was just really impressed with what he was able to do.
I love that answer, and there is an interesting question percolating near the NBA surfaces, which is, if the Clippers had to do it all over again, do you just keep Danilo and Shai and all those picks along? If Kawhi doesn't make you trade those guys for Paul George, are they better if they have SGA, Danilo Gallinari?
It's very hypothetical because Kawhi.
That is actually percolating around NBA circles, or just like.
I heard your friend Bill Simmons talk about it. I think it's an interesting question. Wow. But the right answer is the same answer I had before. Luka. He had 30, 17, and 10, and the game-sealing offensive rebound. How about that? He had a little step back to put him ahead in overtime, then a nice little assist to Kristaps, and then game-sealing offensive rebound tip out. Luka Doncic is my
How about
answer.
That move on Jrue Holiday?
Oh, so good. So good. You're better at pantomiming.
Kleba didn't finish the highlight, but nonetheless.
We have a great slate of NBA games tonight, including the Rockets hosting the Clippers. Nick, the player you are most excited to watch tonight, that guy.
Russ, that's the answer. That is correct. Russell Westbrook. I saw Russ in person Tuesday night, the night of the Spike Lee controversy. In the 47th minute of the game, he did that. He had back-to-back drives to the basket to get the Rockets within one. He then barely missed the game-tying jumper. I want to see how he comes out against Patrick Beverley or whomever the Clippers have guarding him tonight. Russ is my answer.
The NBA game has not been the same this season without Steph Curry.
Oh.
I am so excited. I don't care what he does. I don't care how many points he scores.
Or in how many minutes.
He puts up a ton of shots. I am just so thrilled that he is back on the floor in an NBA game.
How many points do you have?
If he's playing 25 minutes, I said in the earlier segment 27 points, but I'm going to go 31 now.
Ooh.
I'm going to say above 30. I'm going above 30.
Say 35.
I wonder if Steph tonight can match Draymond's total of made threes in 2020. I wonder if Steph can tie him in 22 minutes tonight.
All right, moving on to Kawhi now. Lakers guard Danny Green laid out the blueprint for how they can stop the Claw. Easier said than done. Sarah, the most unstoppable player in the NBA today is blank.
Giannis. This, to me, is an easy answer. I think whether you get it in transition, they've figured out ways. Mike Budenholzer in the half court, how to utilize him a little bit better. I think if you put the ball in his hands, that he can't be stopped. And so answer, Bucks can't be stopped. Giannis can't be stopped.
I'm not going to defame Giannis at all. What I will say is there are ways to defend him, however difficult they are to implement, as far as walling off the rim and forcing him to become a jump shooter.
He has gotten better at,
but it's still the one small hole in his game. At this point, there's no way to defend LeBron. You send a double at him, he gets you an open three-pointer. He's the best post player on a points-per-possession basis in the league. He's leading the league in assists. And this last month, he's about 57% from the field. So whether it's
Harden there.
Harden's in.
I was predicting Harden.
So Harden is the most likely to go for a huge volume scoring night, but he's also, of the great players, the most likely to have a 3-for-19. So because LeBron, that's a 0% chance
that's
going to happen.
That's like he'd stop himself, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. That's a fair point. So Harden's, they're all good answers. They're all right answers. And
once
Steph comes back after the brutal hand injury tonight, so that he can
be
reassert
with
himself
a lot of shot makers in the league.
When your guy
right
Kevin
now.
Durant comes back.
Talking about the Lakers, all eyes are on LeBron, but Anthony Davis is putting together a fantastic season. The King was asked about AD, and he said he's, quote, everything I expected and more. And it got us thinking, Nick, LeBron's best teammate of all time.
Is this
time.
Like best player, are we asking?
Best teammate of LeBron.
So this is, it again depends on the kind of the context of the question. This year, Anthony Davis is playing at a higher level than any of his teammates have in their individual seasons with LeBron. Now, D-Wade obviously is a historically better player than Anthony Davis, but LeBron's never played in games with someone playing at the level Anthony Davis is on both ends of the court this season. So my answer would actually not just be Anthony Davis. It would be 2019-2020. Anthony Davis is my answer.
I didn't know we were giving particular seasons. I figured you would go Anthony Davis. I thought about Kyrie Irving, but I'm going D-Wade. And I feel like the fact that they won titles together, they were an excellent fit. And I also just love the chemistry that they have in terms of what they did on the court, but also off the court. So I'm going.
Oh, they're going with Dellavedova.
Dellavedova wouldn't be my answer. Jetty Osman.
Yeah,
Jetty
Osman.
I thought there was going to be a Delly back to Lakers.
His on-court, off-court with Caruso was pretty off the charts. But
we got to take a break. We're going to make this drawn to blank the Tom Brady edition.
Really?
Okay. He and Bill Belichick reportedly had a phone conversation that didn't go well, according to some. Nick, let's prepare for the worst. The quarterback Belichick would most want to replace Brady is blank.
I don't know if that would be the worst for either party, but to me the answer of the plausible or semi-plausible options,
right?
Jimmy Garoppolo, who's already there. He's on a reasonable contract, and by today's standards, there's no guaranteed money left. He's worked with Belichick. He's worked with McDaniels. To me, of the plausible options, the realistic options, I almost said Philip Rivers, but I ended up going.
Philip Rivers. I don't want Philip Rivers. Don't say Philip. You're not going to say
Philip Rivers. Is Philip Rivers too old for you? You want the 43-year-old instead? I'm going to say Jimmy Garoppolo.
I just have a hard time even saying that's a plausible
idea.
The Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think that's plausible at all.
But
if you
want
a plausible, I would go with Marcus Mariota. Here's a guy.
Ooh, who's, I gotta start liking him.
26 years old. He's going to be signed at a discount because people think that he's underachieved. In Tennessee, he's had four offensive coordinators in his 5 years. It's not like there's been continuity. He's shown a ability to be successful. He's shown an ability to make good decisions in terms of protecting the football. Okay. Has it always been the way? No, but there's a lot of potential there. And what do? They go get guys at discounts and turn them into stars.
I'm going to go on Fanatics.
Well, I'm going to go on Fanatics and get a Mariota jersey just to be safe.
You might want that, yeah.
That sounded like he knew that.
Hey, if Brady does stay in New England, they're going to need to build around him. A recent report says the Patriots are shopping for trades for offensive weapons to help with Brady's negotiations. Coach, start with you. The biggest weapon New England could add to help keep Brady is blank.
Can I start with, I don't believe they're shopping for things.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd start with
now
that.
Now he cuts the knees out from underneath.
No, there's no knees cutting. No, we're just being honest.
Okay.
I'd go AJ Green. I like
Ooh.
It. I don't love the fact that he hasn't been able to stay on the field over the last couple of years. That part's disappointing, but he's been as productive as anybody over the course of his career. He's supposed to be a really good guy. I think he'd fit into that system well, and I think he has here's another guy that has a chance to have a career resurgence in New England.
And AJ's sensational and a great guy. The only question mark with him is health and price tag, potentially. I don't think he'd be cheap. This wouldn't be my choice, but if you're trying to sway Tom Brady, I think Antonio Brown would help.
Oh, God.
Come on. You guys are all shaking your head.
We did beat the Dolphins with him.
I want to say?
Who do you want to say?
Dante Scarnecchia.
Yes. Oh, my God. The offensive line coach.
One more year.
Hey, hold on, coach. So should a team that's recruiting Brady, should they just throw $1 million at Scarnecchia?
No, throw like $5 million.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Throw whatever
Stand
it takes.
Up for his yeah. buddy.
Whatever it takes, throw it at him.
A new report says there are 8 teams interested in Brady, 4 teams that would sign him right now. Nick, the team that should most want to sign Brady right now is blank.
The Chargers. This part is obvious. This is one of these things where I have an opinion on something and it is baffling to me how anyone could disagree. I know that sounds ridiculous. So
that's not with every opinion?
No, some of them, like, I understand this a little, but this is, why would the Chargers want him? Well, they don't have a quarterback. If you were like, oh, the Titans. Titans have a quarterback who just had the best year of his career. The Niners have a quarterback, just had the best year of his career. The Chargers don't have a quarterback. They have to sell tickets. They are in a win-now mode as far as their coaching situation and the caliber of blue-chip players on their roster. Derwin James, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen's not quite a blue-chipper, but close. Mike Williams, if they bring back Hunter Henry, all these things, they need a quarterback, and they need people in L.A. to care about the team. So the Chargers are, to me, the obvious reason that they should be the hottest on his trail. Whether he's interested or not is a separate discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. When Bruce Arians was asked about what he's looking for in a quarterback, he said, I don't care, young or old, I just want a winner. Well, there you've got the biggest winner of all time, and he's had success with older quarterbacks, and he's a guy that's willing to run the ball. And like he did in Arizona on a consistent basis, you know, things were have been a little bit different in Tampa, but I think that's because of the situation. But he's shown that willingness and consistency with running the football that I think would help Tom.
Can I ask you a follow-up on that about Bruce Arians quote, though? Isn't one of his famous quotes, no risk it, no biscuit? Like, he's a guy that likes to take chances deep down the field. They have weapons to take chances deep down the field. Is that really who Tom Brady is at age 43?
Well, but the other thing with Bruce Arians is he's willing to run it down your throat and do it consistently. So he's got both sides of that. And when you're going to get a 43-year-old quarterback, there's some risk it for your biscuit or whatever.
How you feel about Brady in a Bucs uniform?
I didn't want to do this question.
One more from Tom Brady, because why not? With Tom and Bill Belichick reportedly talking things out on a recent phone call, it had us thinking. Nick, the NFL coach or player you would most want to have on speed dial is blank.
We're talking about active, correct? Because the coach I'd most want to have on speed dial historically is Coach Mangini, but he blocks my number. So we're going to
officially, or
he doesn't answer.
It just says do not pick up.
Do not pick. He has me saved under spammer.
Spammer.
My answer is Travis Kelce. Ton of fun. I feel like Travis Kelce, I can go on double dates with Travis Kelce. I feel like I could hang out with Travis Kelce. He might let me borrow that $18,000 Louis Vuitton jacket that I love so much. He's a great player, good dude, seems my speed. Travis Kelce's my answer. He's the guy I'd like to hang out with.
Coach, yeah, I can't wait to hear.
I didn't want to do this question either. That was the answer you gave.
Mine was a joke.
mine is too. I'd say I'll go with Patrick Mahomes so I can sit here and have you tell me all the things you want me to talk to him about.
And you think I don't have a direct line to Patrick Mahomes? Do you think he and I are?
Let's call him.
I'm not going to do to him what Dana White did to Brady. That'd be rude. I'll do it during the break.
Okay.
Do it during the break.
Coach Mangini, we're talking the 49ers, fresh off a Super Bowl loss to the Chiefs. The hangover is real, and it's starting to kick in.
Slim Jim.
A recent report says that Kyle Shanahan, quote, has some reservations about Garoppolo's ceiling and his overall decision-making. Nick, you've kind of been down on Garoppolo and where his ceiling is. So does this report surprise you or not?
No, to me, this line of thinking is the key. And the only thing that matters in unlocking any viability, any possibility of Tom Brady to the Niners, of Garoppolo being on the move, it is only about this. What does Kyle Shanahan really think of his quarterback? Because I feel like we have decent pieces of circumstantial evidence that he don't love him. Now, the evidence we have that he loves him is the contract they gave him after they traded for him. They didn't trade a ton for him, by the way, second round pick, but then they gave him a massive contract. But the way he called games in the playoff run and the way Garoppolo performed in the highest leverage moments a quarterback can face, trying to ice a Super Bowl, and then after the lead was blown, on the drive, first and 10, midfield, 2 minutes left, got some timeouts, go win the game down four, missing that throw, having balls batted down, having the drive end in a pick, those things make, to me, if I were Kyle Shanahan, I would say, I can do better. I know I can do better. If with this tight end, with this running game, with this offensive line, with this defense, my quarterback had a good but not a great year, what is he going to do when we have bad injury luck throughout a season, not just at moments in the middle of the season? What is he going to do if George Kittle regresses from the best all-around tight end in football to a good but not great tight end? What is he going to do if teams start to kind of catch up to my decided schematic advantage as far as play design? Those would be my concerns. And if Shanahan feels the same way, coach, that's the only way you move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the only way there's a spot open for Tom Brady. So to me, that's the key that unlocks any of this being a possibility.
Well, there's a couple of things here. In terms of seeing how he responds in those biggest moments, that's part of the evaluation that you do. But it's not like you're going to know how other guys that you bring in are going to respond in those moments because they haven't had that opportunity. So that works both for and against someone. Part of being a coach and part of the reason you have a C on your chest is because you're supposed to be able to develop guys. So there's an assumption that if you go and you invest that much money into a player, you believe in the things that he can do, and you also believe that your coaching can make a player better. So if he believes that no matter how much work he does with this guy, he's only going to be at a certain level, then yeah, that makes sense that they would be looking to move on. But there's accountability on both sides of the table here. I do think Jimmy G has that make something happen element to him, and I've talked about this a lot, where he'll make something happen for you, good. Or he can make something happen for your opponent, good. And that
what
type
do you mean,
of
just interceptions or
well,
just
make something happen, guys, are guys that are gonna run around and take chances and throw across their body and sometimes it's great and it works out and they get an attaboy, and sometimes they throw a pick and you're like, why would you ever throw that ball? But you can't have it both ways. You can't be happy when it works out and unhappy when it doesn't.
Was it like a Favre-esque thing that you're seeing?
Yeah.
Like when you coach Favre.
You can classify guys in categories, and the make something happen guys, you know, are going to give you one or two opportunities a game for a turnover because of the decisions they make.
But so
now, they
Favre
make some
is,
great
but
plays.
But the reward but in is that far bucket, better than the
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I apologize, Gina. In that bucket, like the upper bound of the best version of it is Favre. The worst version of it is Jameis. He's probably not the worst version, but those are.
I mean, so Jameis Fitzpatrick is what makes
Fitzpatrick. Like, Jay Cutler was like was one of these Jay guys, Cutler. And so and then there's the more just in a totally different bucket is Teddy Bridgewater, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say the upper bound of that style of quarterback's Tom Brady. Right, I'm gonna be conservative at times, almost to a fault. But we're not going to lose the game because I made a mistake. But the further bound on the other end of that are the quarterbacks you see. It's like, man, if you're in 3rd and 12, the game's over.
But
like you can't make that throw.
But in fairness to Garoppolo, now he comes from a system that doesn't have a lot of shifting and motioning, and there is pre-snap information, and that you can come up to the line of scrimmage and evaluate what's happened and make decisions. And you put him in a system where there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of shifting motion, the defense is moving, it's much harder to process. So there are roles and responsibilities for each side of this before you just kill the quarterback and say his ceiling is what his ceiling is.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.